It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode 102 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
It is a busy season for X-Wing. We are in the middle of a regional season. Lots going on here, and we've seen a recent FAQ change that has impacted the metagame pretty distinctly.
Yeah, so now that the dominant force of Miranda and Nim with Trajectory Simulator and Genius has been shaken up a bit with the recent FAQ, we're going to see how the meta's evolved since then.
With still several regionals left in this season, this is a good time to talk about what lists are doing well and maybe help you consider what lists you should bring to your next regional. So let's get to it. All right, to start off, you'll notice that Carson has damaged his vocal cords on purpose so that our voices will be more distinct and make it easier for you to separate out who's talking on the podcast. Right, Carson?
Yeah, colds are the bane of any podcaster, but the show must go on.
Well, I think it'll help the audience, though, because now they can really tell us apart, because I guess sometimes we sound kind of similar.
Yeah, sure. That's what's happened here.
Anyway, so let's talk about regional season right now. Right now, Rebels are pretty much dominating, right?
Yeah, don't waste my time. Let's start with the best. Let's start with the Rebels. They're dominating, like, doesn't even really fully describe it. They're just so far and above everybody else. I mean, the Imperials have a few decent ships that they're putting lists together with, and the Scum basically just has one pilot. But Rebels have so many great choices. Miranda, Captain Nim, better than all the Scum versions, Rebel Captain Nim. Then they got Lorik, who keeps all of their great ships alive. And then the Sheetha Peach shuttles have been really stand out this regional season. Fen Rao, Ezra, really dominant, and they support a lot of different builds there. And then, of course, they just have their great turret platforms in the YT-1300 and YT-2400. Dash Rendar, Rey, even a little bit of Han and Chewie have all been doing decent. And, of course, the Ghost, another big base. Not primary turret, but basically turreted ship. So there's a lot for them to put together, and it all comes together pretty strongly.
Well, and I think a huge reason for that is we're seeing a lot of the newer ships released, your Captain Nims, your Lorix and the Azatuk gunship, and now your Sheetha Peach shuttles. These new ships combine very well with things that were already working well for the Rebel faction. That regen, a bombing Miranda Donnie, all that great stuff that was already out there. It's really come together, though, and that's why they've risen to the top here. We're using our knowledge based on what we've seen at regionals, the Minnesota regional, with all the other lists that we've been observing at other regionals around the country and around the world. One of the resources we've been pulling here, and this is a great thing for any X-Wing player to know about, we've been using the List Juggler website. You can go there at lists.starwarsclubhouse.com, and they have a compilation where people submit lists that were played at regionals, so you can check out those top 16, top 8 lists from all the regionals and see what's really rising to the top here. It's a great resource for competitive X-Wing players, so if you didn't know about it, I definitely recommend checking out List Juggler. Anyway, so based on that knowledge, we're seeing what has really risen to the top here. So we're going to look at the list archetypes that are really dominate. So yeah, let's start with the Rebels here. So obviously, Miranda Nim's a really big player in the game right now, even after the FAQ update where you can no longer use Trajectory Simulator with the Genius Salvaged Astromech to launch your bombs after you move. We're still seeing this list perform very well at regionals.
Yeah, I mean, even at our local regional, it was the most predominant list in the cut. And I think it was pretty popular during the Swiss rounds as well. I mean, they are two really expensive small base ships, which means your opponent doesn't get any points unless they completely destroy the ship. And Captain Nim deals out enough damage that it's hard for an opponent to be able to answer back and completely destroy Nim. And of course, if Miranda survives that initial engagement with just a little bit of hull, she's going to just get out of the combat and turn around and keep regenerating. Making the list just really good at holding on to points.
Well, yeah, and we've been talking about this. Miranda is, I think right now we can agree, the best closing ship in the game. She's just so strong. Access to things like Twin Laser Turret, Harpoon Missile, and that native regen ability on her pilot ability just makes her so hard to kill if it gets down to a mano 1v1 end game. And then obviously Captain Nim can just push out a crazy amount of damage.
And Miranda's also probably one of the best opening ships in the game. I mean, starting off with just a 5-dice Harpoon Missile, that's a pretty big play. I think she's good, you know, from turn one until, you know, 2 hours into a final match, she's still your best ship. You can't really beat Miranda Donny in value for points.
Yeah, and this list is still doing well at regionals. We saw, I think, three of them in the top 16 at the Minnesota Regional, and they're cropping up all over the place. So even after this FAQ update, still a very strong list there to check out if you're looking for something very consistent. Looking down the line, this is an archetype we actually didn't really see at the Minnesota Regional in any strong way, but I know it's been a very popular choice, a lot of other regionals. The combination of a Ghost VCX 100 with Fenrau and usually some sort of shuttle docked to allow the Ghost to use its title ability to get that extra shot at the end of the round.
Yeah, and this is really an evolution. I mean, we had Biggs and Kanan a while back, and then after Biggs got nerfed, then Lorik filled in the gap here. But I think Fenrau is an even stronger play, and it provides pretty comparable defensive boost to the Ghost. I mean, Fenrau's pilot ability stops a lot of modification, but then you combine it with whatever control effects you put on Fenrau, and kind of whatever defensive mods you have on your Ghost, it becomes pretty potent. If they're running like a hotshot co-pilot on Fenrau and then like a sensor jammer on the Ghost, that is a very durable list.
Yeah, I mean, if you can kill that Fenrau, then you take away a lot of the synergies here, but it's still a super tanky ship, and it's got that native evade token, so it can get some pretty good defensive modification. Looking at that hotshot co-pilot, that card came out a little while ago, and we started to see it a little bit upon release, but more recently it's been very important, especially since you can put it on a Fenrau who, with veteran instincts, is coming in at pilot skill 11. You're forcing your opponent to spend those focus tokens typically on defense, which is really impactful, and then in combination with that sensor jammer makes it really hard to push damage through on that Ghost.
Right, and Fenrau's usually at range 3, so you don't have that good of attacks on him.
Well, and we can't discount the value of Flight Assist Astromech here, right?
Yeah, it's really good. I would say annoyingly good, but it's one of those things where it makes those fair ships like T-70s and T-65s and maybe Y-Wings pretty interesting, but on this double arced ship, it might be a little too much.
Well, and one of the problems I had when I was experimenting with the Sheathipede right away was just trying to keep it caught up with a Ghost, because that was one of the first lists I ran, was a Sheathipede paired up with a pretty stripped down Ghost and then a Advanced Optics Poe Dameron. And I just had a hard time like keeping up with that Ghost, because the dial is okay on the Sheathipede, but it's not amazing. But after seeing it at regionals, that Flight Assist Astromech helped the ship keep pace with the Ghost, allowing you to use those coordinate actions or whatever you need to do, keep Fenrau in range to use his ability. That Flight Assist Astromech is super valuable, and it's probably my go-to Astromech now for the Sheathipede.
Yeah, so the list is good, and there's a lot of different variations on it. We have seen people be successful with just the Lothal Rebel, Chopper, or Kanan, and then there's a lot of different, you know, ways to kit those out. You can go for a lot of focus tokens on Kanan, or Maul and Ezra crew work well together, especially with four dice twin laser turrets all getting pretty good modification.
But that's not all the Rebels have to offer. A lot of great combinations here. Another archetype we're seeing is kind of the Dash Poe archetype, though I think you can argue that the same archetype fills in with other ships like Han Solo or Rey.
Yeah, basically small base regenerator with a big base turret. All works pretty well. Dash Poe is the most popular and most successful of these, but you'll see a lot of variations. Dash Miranda, Miranda Rey, Poe Rey, Han Solo in there. Basically, you have a turreted ship that can deal out a lot of damage, and then a regenerating ship that can really close out a late game.
Yeah, and those are both pretty well embodied by the Dash Poe archetype. At this point, we're basically seeing the countermeasures modification glued to these large base ships, right? Like, you have to find some way to deal with the ordnance threat.
I mean, I think there's some room for engine still on the high pilot skill Falcons, just because they can try to dodge the arcs of some of the ordnance carriers. But especially for Dash, you want countermeasures.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you're not at pilot skill 11, you basically have to opt for countermeasures over that engine upgrade, right? Because you're going to see so many ordnance carriers coming in at pilot skill 11.
Yeah, and so, I mean, those turret strategy is, one, countermeasures helps a lot, and two, they have enough hit points that they can weather a bit of the storm and then dodge arc the rest of the time. Plus, those turreted ships do very well against ships like Miranda or Captain Nim that try to survive by dodging arc and firing back with turrets. So if you're returning fire with a turreted weapon, you're doing pretty well.
Well, especially if it's a heavy laser cannon using the Outrider title on Dash, you're just going to put out so much damage with those four attack dice versus just that one agility die. That's a quick way to burn down Nim or Miranda.
Right. And then Poe does great at protecting those turrets with the Black One title, being able to drop a target lock from a friendly ship at pilot skill 11. That's great. I mean, Miranda's still a better closing out ship than Poe, but Poe does help for that early survivability, so you don't have to take as many harpoon missiles.
Well, and the regen is important here, whether it's on Poe or Miranda, because if you're able to survive that initial barrage of ordnance and attacks, that regen is going to start helping you long term. So if Poe loses all his shields in the opening engagement, that's okay, because he'll have an opportunity to get those shields back while Dash is putting pressure on his opponent with those four dice heavy laser cannon shots. The real trick is just surviving that initial barrage, right?
Right, and then this list is fine. Yeah, they've won at that point. Yeah, I mean, so these lists are pretty fun. You have two pretty mobile ships. While both the pieces are on the table, it's a lot of fun. But if you lose one really quickly, that could be pretty costly and hard to come back from.
We're also seeing archetypes in the Rebel faction that depend on a lot of the selfless synergies or the damage splitting or blocking synergies, mainly focusing on Lorik's ability. Pilot skill 5, using that reinforced token, you can spend it to add an evade result to a friendly ship at range 1. We're seeing this synergize well with a lot of other great Rebel ships. The one that just won the Minnesota Regional we talked about last week is the combination of Miranda Donny, a great ship as we know, with Lorik and then Ezra Bridger on the Sheathipede there. This is a really great, interesting synergy list. A little bit stripped down points-wise on the Miranda, but you make up for that in the defensive synergies that let you keep this list alive.
Yeah, I mean, this strategy is basically protect the queen. Just Miranda's a great closing out ship, and let's get her to the late game. But also brings some pretty cool control elements as well. I mean, Lorik is great at protecting other ships. Miranda's a great ship to protect, but then Ezra dealing out a bunch of stress tokens with R3-A2, and then Lorik also having Tactician, pretty heavy stress control package that can shut down a lot of lists.
But Ezra, Lorik, Miranda is not the only Rebel synergy we're seeing here, though. We've also got kind of the more typical selfless Rebels there with a combination of Fen Rao, Lorik, Jess Pava in the T-70 X-Wing, and Captain Rex still a valid choice.
Yeah, the traditional selfless Rebels just replaced Big Starkleider with Fen Rao and is doing fine. So we've seen Fen Rao replace Biggs in both the selfless Rebels build and in the Ghost builds. The Sheathipede's really all over the place.
So needless to say, Rebels doing really well right now. If you're running a Rebel list, you're probably already doing pretty all right. A lot of options here, different list types to fly.
And honestly, those options don't stop there. Rebels have a ton of great lists. We just limited it to give each team 5 here. We really stretched with the other two factions, but I kind of had to cut it short with the Rebels.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We're ready to announce our raffle winners. This month, we're giving away 2 raffle prizes. Our 2 raffle winners will each be able to choose 1 X-Wing expansion valued at $30 MSRP or less, and we'll ship that out to you. Our 2 winners are Dr. Austin Featherstone from Nashville, Tennessee, as well as Daniel Woodruff from Livonia, New York. Congratulations, guys. You'll be getting a message through Patreon within the next couple days here so we can figure out which expansion to ship out to you. A huge congratulations to you guys, and a huge thank you to everyone who supported us on Patreon. If you'd like to be eligible for our raffles and support our show, please go on to patreon.com/radioTCX and become a supporter of the show today at any level. And now, back to the cast. Well, and let's look at those other factions here now, too. So we've got Imperials. We've started to see kind of a resurgence in a couple older list archetypes here. Palp Aces has come back in a real way. That's a combination of 2 Imperial Ace-style ships with a Lambda-class shuttle carrying Emperor Palpatine. We saw several of these doing quite well at the Minnesota Regional, and I think it's not surprising, actually. Part of it probably has to do with the slightly lessened effectiveness of bombs after the FAQ update, losing the Trajectory Simulator Genius combo.
Right. Bombs have been what's driven Aces out of competitive play, and now that bombs took a slight hit, some of the Aces are poking their heads back up and seeing if they could play.
We actually saw several players rocking the Inquisitor too at the Minnesota Regional, not just with a Lambda class and another ace. We saw like Andrew LaCharelle's list make the top 4 there, where he had the Inquisitor and a Rear Admiral Chernow.
Right. So traditionally, Palp Aces has been able to support a lot of different types of aces, but that's really not the case right now. We're really only seeing the Inquisitor and Quick Drop be, and potentially Darth Vader as kind of the fringe third ace, be really the only ones having a lot of success.
Well, and it's not surprising. You still have to worry about the bomb threat. And the Inquisitor, I think, is actually very nimble enough and has those really nice, tight, short maneuvers, the one banks and the one hard turns that are green, that enable him to, when he has to, avoid that launched bomb forward. We've then looking at ships like Quickdraw or Darth Vader, those are ace-style ships, maybe not quite so nimble, but they have quite a few more hit points, so they're more ready to deal with that bomb threat.
Right. Well, and Quickdraw and Vader also... probably one of your better harpoon delivering systems coming in at pilot skill 11. And they can really start off with some pretty powerful opening damage and then play that ace game.
Well, and if you're bringing harpoon missiles to the table, Emperor Palpatine's another great choice. Not only are you getting the occasional defensive boon using Emperor Palpatine's ability to declare changing a result before you roll your dice, you can also force that critical result in to trigger that harpoon condition when you need to. And having that level of reliability is really important in these harpoon lists.
Well, and that was one thing I noticed watching the Palpatine players play on the stream, was they were using Palpatine's ability on offense a lot more than I expected. I think to survive right now, you have to push damage through quickly on your opponent. You can't just always tank up with your ace.
Another really popular archetype here is Quickdraw in combination with some new Alpha Class Starwings. This one actually has a lot of permutations. We've seen a lot of different ways, different numbers of ships. One of the more popular ones we're seeing right now is a pretty simple quick draw, veteran instincts, fire control system, special ops training, and lightweight frame, along with three of the base level new squadron pilots, those carrying each a harpoon missile and long range scanners.
Right, but to counter all of the countermeasure play that the rebels are using, a lot of players have opted to cut one of the gunboats and switch to some Deadeye row squadrons carrying those harpoon missiles.
That also affords you enough points there to put a harpoon missile on Quickdraw, so you're getting three harpoon missiles still, just with a three ship list instead of a four ship list.
Right, and so then Poe can't take off your target lock, countermeasures can't stop you from firing your missile, but you do have to watch out for Hotshot Co-Pilot, or, you know, everyone plays Paul of Gedali, so he takes your focuses.
Not everyone plays Paul of Gedali, Carson. Or unless you consider everyone yourself should. To be everyone. Yeah, everyone should, I mean.
It'd be a crazy game if everyone played Paul of. Can you imagine those mirrors? The initiative bids you'd have to have.
They'd be crazy. Get down in the low 80s. Other quick draw builds we'll see there. I'm actually liking that stripped down quick draw with two of the row squadron, the pilot skill 4 alpha classes, but with the assault configuration and rocking out a heavy laser cannon, as well as long range scanners and linked battery. I like that consistent amount of damage. You don't get as high of a spike, and obviously you're not getting the harpoon condition, but they can put out some really consistent damage, and having any one of those ships still active means you're a constant threat to your opponent's ships, just with that threat of four dice with some modification, even if you don't get any tokens.
Hey, and Fen Rao can't turn off the linked battery.
I'm counting on it.
We've also seen combinations of Darth Vader, Quick Draw, and perhaps another Starwing or another ship, just all rocking harpoon missiles. It's, you know, hit them with some high pilot skill harpoon missiles, and Darth Vader and Quick Draw pilot skill 11, and then a third ship to kind of finish off what's ever left.
Well, and I think this emphasizes the really good value that you get out of the Starwing. That is a really point-effective ship. And in combination with a couple aces like that, you could easily have a Starwing with a harpoon missile, and your opponent really has to make hard decisions. Do I focus down the high pilot skill aces, or do I let this Starwing live, use its reload action to regenerate that missile, and then continue to put pressure on me with that harpoon?
Well, yeah, it's a pretty neat strategy.
We're also seeing a resurgence in some more classic lists here. Triple defender lists are reasonably strong choices here. Again, lots of hit points, so they're very resilient to bombs, and they have a pretty consistent offensive output.
Well, and part of that is, I mean, this is a list that has a chance of dropping, you know, either a Miranda or a Nim in that first in volley. If they can get some range one shots, those crack shots really cut through those one agility ships' defense pretty well. And then, you know, those are pretty durable ships to close out the rest of the game. And so I'm pretty excited to see Triple Defenders back at least a little bit. I think it's a cool squad.
Yeah, that's a cool ship design just to see on the table. It was a little oppressive before, but ever since they toned down the X7 title, it seems a little bit more reasonable to deal with. We also are seeing a resurgence in Rear Admiral Chirnow out there.
Yeah, and I say he's paired with an ace, but it's really either Quickdraw or the Inquisitor again.
Again, emphasizing the value of those two ships, Quickdraw and the Inquisitor, though they accomplish pretty different things. It's pretty tough to fly the Inquisitor right now, especially if he's only one of two ships in your list. You have to be very, very precise with how you use him, because he can easily fall to some bomb damage from a launched bomb or anything that gets close to him.
But somehow he keeps showing up in the cut. I'm surprised too, but, you know, the numbers speak for themselves.
And Rear Admiral Cheer now, if you're getting a harpoon missile on that other ace, like Quick Draw, has a pretty good ability for proccing that harpoon condition, being able to convert a focus result into a crit result at range 1 to 2. Good value there. Obviously, it's a great chassis. Lots of hit points there. So if you're dealing with an ordnance list, you're going to take a lot of damage, but you'll probably survive that initial engagement.
Right. Well, and I mean, the big threat of this list is that Kylo Ren crew plus Rear Admiral Chernu's ability to proc critical results means you can put a lot of pressure on, you know, either Miranda Donnie or Captain Nim. They really don't like those pilot skill zero crits or blinded pilot not being able to fire their harpoon missile that turn. You can pretty consistently get those triggers.
Yeah, this list does a pretty good job of shutting down Nim Miranda lists, which is kind of one of the things people have to focus on here. We see that with the Fenrau Ghost builds. Those are really great at shutting down Nim Miranda lists. Same here with the Rear Admiral Chiranau plus Ace lists. All right, so we've talked Rebels, we've talked Imperials. Let's get down to Scum and Villainy. We've assembled five archetypes here, though I think you could argue really they're all just a single archetype, right, Carson?
Well, let me read through them really quickly together. We got, you know, first up for Scum, we got Asajj and Dengar. And then after that, we have Asajj and Ketsu. And then we have Asajj and Nim, which I've flown at a regional. It's pretty good. Then we have Fenrau and Naldra, and Asajj. And then the fifth list is Boba Fett and Asajj.
So I think if you're listening, you're probably starting to see a pattern here. Asajj is a pretty good chassis right now, or I guess it's kind of the best chassis that Scum and Villainy has to offer.
Now, to be fair, I went pretty far down in the Meta Wing list to find five Scum lists, but they all had that Asajj factor in common.
Well, let's start by focusing on what makes Asajj so strong right now. Obviously, a really great pilot ability, being able to deal out a stress token at the beginning of combat.
And the great pilot ability of being able to remove a stress token to add an evade in the Lots Razi crew card that's stapled to her.
Yeah, at this point, it's almost definitely stapled, or at least it's in the list somewhere. We saw some cool stuff where we saw Lots Razi on a Hawk 290, but more often than not, I think you're going to see that crew on the Asajj pilot.
Right. Maybe you use duct tape, maybe you use super glue, but some way you've attached Lots Razi to Asajj.
We're also seeing some loadouts where people do, you know, what they call the Time Walk Asajj, where you have countermeasures on there, as well as a couple copies of Glitterstim, called Time Walk, of course, after the famous Magic the Gathering card. It basically makes it seem like you lost your turn to shoot.
Right, and so, I mean, this ship, I think, is the best defense against harpoon missiles currently available. Countermeasures, great, takes off the target lock. But also, they could fire those harpoon missiles. You now have three agility with Lone Wolf to reroll one of those, Glitter Stim, and then you're adding another evade from that Lats Razi stress, and you had an evade token as your action. I mean, so you could get five, you could evade a Miranda Donnie harpoon missile.
Well, and it's really not absurd that you could avoid a regular four hit harpoon missile with that much defense. The Glitter Stim there being super important in that it recurs for each attack. So even if you're getting multiple missiles coming at you, you're going to have pretty heavy defensive mods there. So often they might do very little damage, maybe just take away a couple shields. And the fact that you can do that multiple turns in a row with two copies of Glitter Stim is pretty great.
I mean, in late game, when you get down to just one other ship versus Asajj, the pilot ability plus Lots Razi plus Lone Wolf, that is a very resilient ship. That's really hard for just one ship attacking it each turn to push damage through.
So it's not hard to see why Asajj is such a popular choice in Scum and Villainy right now. Knowing what to pair with Asajj is a little bit more difficult.
Right. There is honestly nothing at the same power level to pair with Asajj right now. I mean, we see basically every other large base ship you try, you know, top Jumpmaster, top other Shadowcaster, top Firespray. And, you know, they all do okay, but mainly it's Asajj just doing a lot of work, and that other ship is just there to remove some of your opponent's ships so that Asajj can close out the late game.
Well, and Scum and Villainy took a pretty big hit when we saw the errata update for Atani Mind Link, where it became limited to just two ships in your squad, making that focus sharing a lot less efficient. We're still seeing that come up, though, in a build. You can do Fen Rao with Atani Mind Link and an Anuldra and a Sick Interceptor with Atani Mind Link, them kind of supporting each other, particularly Anuldra getting focus tokens to Fen and then having that pretty strong Asajj build just as your complement to those. It's been doing pretty good.
Right. I mean, but that's still basically a two-ship build. It's Asajj plus, you know, 50 points of Fen Rao, because Anuldra is not in the combat really for that. But this is what I said with the Atani nerf, you know, making it two ship only is really going to hurt the small base scum ships. And there's a lot of cool small base options that just aren't quite making the cut right now.
You're still seeing some scum Captain Nims, but I feel like that ship is effectively a large base ship.
Right. Yeah, gameplay wise, it functions much more like a large base ship. But yeah, I mean, the scum faction's been hit with nerf after nerf after nerf. Most of them targeted at the Jumpmaster, and that's still the Scum's best option is Asajj paired with the Jumpmaster.
Yeah, so there you have it. That's what's doing pretty good in the 2018 regional season right now. If you're flying any of these list archetypes, or maybe you're doing well with something that's not on these lists, be sure to let us know through social media. You can post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/RadioTCX, or throw us a tweet at RadioTCXPodcast.
Yeah, we'll both be at the Fargo regional coming up this weekend. And it looks like there's a lot of great Rebel lists for us to choose from.
Yeah, I still haven't decided what to fly. So if you have any ideas for me, listeners, please let me know.
Or if you found the perfect ship to pair with Asajj, let me know.
And it can't be another Asajj. It's against the rules.
I wish. That would be great. That's all I need in life.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page. You can also leave a 5-star review on Facebook. This helps us a lot. It's great to see those 5-star reviews on there. So if you have a minute, please be sure to leave us a 5-star up there.
You can follow us on Twitter at RadioTCXPodcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going onto iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review. Those iTunes reviews are really important, and a huge thank you to everyone who's already left us a 5-star review.
This week, we want to give a shout out to Jason C. from Tennessee, who listens to the show while driving to work and says that the podcast really helps the drive fly by. Thanks, Jason C. from Tennessee.
Thanks, Jason. And again, a huge thank you to everyone who's left us a review on iTunes.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.